And welcome back to the Odd Man Rush, our NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com. This is Greg Samluka, once again, joined by Aaron Brown and Wes Goldstein.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. So, continuing our preview of the 2009-2010 season, we are moving on to the Atlantic Division this time. And lots of stories to go over with the Atlantic Division, a lot of changeover for some of the teams. So let's get right to it and just give a little overview of what we can expect from the Atlantic Division this year as opposed to what we saw last year. Wes?
Well, first of all, I think you're looking at probably the toughest division in the entire NHL. I mean,
right.
I know the Central Division had four playoff teams last year as well, but really I don't think you can stack up the quality of those teams against the quality of the teams in the Atlantic Division. You've got the Stanley Cup champions, you have the Flyers, who look a lot bigger and stronger with Chris Kapunger on the blue line. You have the Rangers, who added some offense, some real offense, actually, with Gabrick and Prosper and a few other guys. And
sure.
You have New Jersey with Jacques Lemaire coming back there. It should be very interesting.
Right.
And then, of course, the Islanders, who didn't make the playoffs, but they had the first overall pick in John Tavares, so at least they have something to look forward to there at Long Island. It could be a very interesting division.
Agreed.
I'll yeah. still take the Central just because of the whole Nashville versus Islanders thing. But I think the Atlantic is definitely one of the tougher divisions this year. I'm looking forward to seeing how Pittsburgh follows up its Stanley Cup run. The thing that stands out to me specifically with them is that their younger talent grew up, and now it's like the torch has been passed. They're no longer kids. How are they going to handle that sort of,
sure.
you know, pressure? So I'm looking forward to seeing how they mature this year. I think that now you've got another aspect to the Rangers-Devils rivalry. It'll be interesting to see Marian Gaborik, assuming he stays healthy, play against his former coach in New Jersey.
Sure.
I think that'll be interesting. And then, the Flyers, one thing that up front and on defense – on paper, they look really strong. And then the question is, how is the goaltending
going?
But we always ask that question with
Philadelphia.
So, and then the Islanders, it's, you know, how do they grow? That's, I won't put too much pressure on them. So
my question is then, if you're looking at the change in dynamics in the Rangers Devils rivalry, is that because you expect Jacques Lemaire to be more successful shutting down Gabrick as a coach coaching against him than he was with?
I don't know, but I mean, there's just enough, you know, hate with that rivalry to begin with, and you know, just to add one more, you know, because obviously
I don't know if there's hate between.
No, I don't know.
If there's,
well, no, not that there's what with the Devils and Rangers.
Well,
no.
I think
no.
it's the fans.
Well, yes.
Well, I was thinking with Gaborik and
and
Lemaire. I don't think it's hate. I think it's just like, you know what, we're both happy to be away from each other.
Exactly, right. But yet they're going to face each other, and you know, to some degree, it's going to say, well, who was right.
No, but I think there is a hate factor when you put Sean Avery in front of Martin Brodeur.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so I think there are some elements there, but it's going to be interesting. That's going to be that's always a great rivalry, and they play each other so many times, and really that they have a lot of great games.
Right, and. On the subject of Lemaire coming back to the Devils, we have the situation of this is really Tortorella's first chance to, you know, it's his first camp,
mm-hmm.
and he finally has the players, and he's going to work in his system from the very beginning. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of, you know, fuels fire, because you basically have with those two coaches polar opposites in terms of how mm-hmm. their style mm-hmm. of play. So, you know, will the attacking pressure offense of the Rangers beat the trapping, you know, slowdown of the Devils?
It's going to be interesting to find out, but I have to be honest with you. I think that the real dynamic in that division is going to be the rivalry between the Flyers and the Penguins, because that's really where this division is going to be. Those are going to be the top two teams. I don't think there's any question that they are on a different level than the Rangers and Devils. Both decent teams, solid teams, potential to make some noise when it becomes a postseason. But right now, I don't think you can say that either of them are at the level of the Flyers.
Right. I think what it comes down to is the Devils and the Rangers are the question teams, right?
Yes.
If this goes this way, if they're able to do this, then they can have a successful season, like you said, make some noise in the playoffs. Whereas Pittsburgh certainly, and then to a slightly lesser degree Philadelphia, they're a lot closer to that finished product. Mm-hmm. Their questions are more of, well, if this goes wrong, then maybe they won't do as well, but for the most part they should be okay.
Right.
Whereas
mm-hmm.
New Jersey and New York, they have a lot of ifs that need to go right, if Gabrick can stay healthy, etc.
No, that's for sure. I think that both those teams are better than they were last year. Well, certainly the Rangers, I think, are better because they needed some offense. So they're not part of, and from that point of view, they're going to be a better team. The Devils didn't really make all that many changes. They have Brodeur back, you know, presumably for the entire season, although really well with Clemenson last year. They've lost a little bit of offense with Gionta going, but Lemaire is the kind of coach who knows the system. He's the kind of guy that, more important than Lou Lamoriello, the GM, is comfortable with. And I think that, again, it's going to be an easy fit to get back to where they were before he left. And, you know, for whatever that's worth, and we'll see what happens with the Devils.
Except one thing with the Devils, with Lemaire back as coach, that has me wondering, when they got away from him, and this was something last year and I want to say the year before that I noticed out of the Devils, they were becoming a more offensive team. They were starting to have these games where they would, you know, score, you know, 5 or 6 goals. And for many years, that was very uncharacteristic of the Devils. So my concern for them is what happens to a guy like, say, Zach Parise, who under Sutter really, really thrived. And now he's going to be put in a situation that, ironically, like Gaborik wanted to escape from. So what is that going to do to his play? I mean, he's a solid player all around, but is he going to have more of a, you know, a leash on him to that maybe prevents him from getting another 40
season? You
know what,
season? And I have to admit that this may sound a little bit of contradiction in terms of what I said before, but the thing with Lemaire, and he's always argued that, you know, this idea of him being a defensive, you know, focused coach is a little bit exaggerated. He said, yes, he talks about responsibility. Yes, he talks about playing deep in his own end. But he also said that the teams he had in Minnesota, he built systems to basically deal with the kind of players and the kind of talent level he had. Mm-hmm. I think in New Jersey, if you're starting out with a Parise and a Zajac and a Langenbrunn, and you have Patrick Elias and Ralston on the second unit, you have more threats than he did before. And again, like under Brent Sutter last year, Sutter is also considered a defensive oriented coach, but he didn't necessarily stymie these guys from playing the aggressive kind of hockey. And I don't think Lemaire is necessarily going to put a muzzle on any of these guys just for the sake of doing it. I think what he's going to do is try and utilize them to their best strength, but he's going to be definitely a disciplinarian in terms of keeping the focus on playing defense and being responsible and not making mistakes, which Sutter did as well. So I don't know if you're going to see that much of a change. But again, Lemaire has always complained that people tend to look at him through one prism, basically, and he doesn't think it's necessarily accurate. It may not be, but we'll see. You know, on the ice, he's going to have different horses. So let's see what he does with them.
All right, let's take a look. Go back to Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Hal Gill and Scuderi are gone. They bring in Jay McKee. What do we think of their defensive situation?
It's funny because had Hal Gill and Scuderi left last summer, nobody would have thought twice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but give them credit for, you know, raising their profile. They raised their games along with the rest of the Penguins, you know, the support crew in Pittsburgh as the season ended, came to an end under Dan Bosman. And then in the playoffs, they all kind of stepped their game up. Scuderi and Gill were really, really good in the playoffs, and really, they got rewarded for it in the free agent market. I mean, Scuderi's one big save in Game 6, that the toe save is going to, you know, it has the same, you know, monumental impact in Pittsburgh as, let's say, I don't know, Kirk Gibson's home run did in Los Angeles or, you know, any kind of, you know, great moment.
Be wary of signing postseason heroes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But Los Angeles got, you know, he's a 30-year-old defenseman. He's solid in his own end. He's a defensive-minded guy. He's going to help the Kings. And Gill, you know, he's going to give the Canadians a big presence along the line. But you're losing two key elements, or two elements that played key roles last year.
Key roles, exactly, exactly.
You know, will other players step up? McKee is a veteran. He's been there.
Right.
They have young kids. Letang will get more ice time.
Goligoski
will get more ice time. It's not that they are basically, you know, creating major, major holes in their lineup. Because remember, this team is built around Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jordan Staal, and Marc-Andre Fleury. You have the strength down the middle. That is there. That's locked up. And this is, you know, where the team is going. The ancillary parts, yes, you'd rather have them back if possible. But their loss is probably not be as significant as, you know, it might seem on the surface.
Right, yeah. It's a lot easier to get the role player. Now, getting them to fulfill that role and do it well, you know, that's always the crapshoot, you know. But certainly you can go out there, especially with the salary cap considerations, find a role player, mm-hmm. you know, and roll the dice, and hopefully the contributions are the same right. With each player.
But even some of the guys they have now, I would say they filled the role player with
sure.
the McKee. You know, Mark Eaton, I think, to some degree right. is a role player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to have the kids now, they've got some of the experience from the playoff run. So, again, it's, you know, I'm looking at a maturity factor. They could probably lean on them a little bit more.
From two playoff runs, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Stanley Cup 2 years in a row.
Right. Yeah. So I think that they're not – I don't think they're really going to be hurting on defense.
No, and let's face it. I mean, Gonchar and Brooks Orpik are their top units.
Yeah.
And then Letang is a, you know, a top two-unit player as well.
And
so.
You'll have Gonchar healthy.
Right. So
hopefully.
You know, yeah, provided, yeah. provided he doesn't get injured again. But
the real question for Pittsburgh, and Aaron touched on this before in terms of how they're going to respond coming back after this, you know, they learned their lesson. This whole thing about learning what it means to lose before you learn how to win.
Yeah.
And they went through it, certainly by losing Detroit 2 years ago and winning last year. But the real issue for me is it's a young team. They have everything in place to basically create a potential dynasty over the next few years.
Yeah.
Well, they're following the Edmonton example to a T, even mm-hmm. including the losing the first time around.
And beating yeah. the team that's coming back to start. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But what I'm getting at here is that, you know, what they have to learn now is that it's different being the hunted instead of the hunter.
Sure.
And they're going to be facing a challenge because every night there's a target on their back. Somebody wants to beat Pittsburgh. And that's going to be really the biggest challenge for them, I think. You know, other than maybe like avoiding a Stanley Cup hangover. I don't know how much they party in the off season, but
right.
That could be an issue, you know, for some teams. But they're young enough, you would think that, you know, they can sleep it off real fast.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. They probably partied harder, but they have the ability to recover
right, yes.
quicker
mm-hmm.
because they're young. All right, so let's move over to Philadelphia now. And Simone Gagné, are we going to have a healthy season from him?
I'm not his doctor, but...
although there's probably a very good chance that at some point in time you saw the same doctor.
Yeah, with my injury-prone self. No, I think that it's... you know, we're going to have to be wary with him because didn't he already...
He strained his groin.
I mean,
strained his groin. He tweaked his groin like the first practice to Team
yeah.
Canada. They took him off the ice as precautionary. He has some issues. So
I think, and that's an injury that just if it doesn't heal right, that could just be a problem throughout the year.
Right.
But you know what? It's something I think we've said for two straight years now. For whatever reason, when someone big goes down on the Flyers, they seem to thrive. Because there was the issue with Gagné, I think not last year, the season before. Last year was Briere. And it's almost like they don't miss a step. They need some sort of adversity to kick them in the pants.
They're a pretty deep team.
And
that's what it comes down to.
I think that veteran presence that Knubel played helped them significantly in those times. You know, he had a guy who maybe wasn't flashy, but got results, was able to play in those rough spots in front of the net, and not having him now, you know, who's going to take that role for them this year?
Well, I think in a way they're better, in some ways a little better off, because they're going to give Briere a shot at mm-hmm. playing up on the top line. He might have to play in the wing to do it, but the real problem with Briere towards the end of the season, certainly from the middle point on, when Jeff Carter started coming on,
right.
is they didn't, you know, Briere ended up as a third line center, mm-hmm. and he really needs top two line minutes to thrive. They have Mike Richards and Carter ahead of him, so now they're going to have a spot for him on a wing. They lost Knubel, they lost Joffrey Lupul in the offseason,
right.
so there's winger spots open on the top two lines. If let's assume Gagné is healthy or mostly healthy, that's going to be a pretty deep. Offense, you know, certainly in top two line. You have Scott Hartnell as well, so you have mm-hmm. a lot of scoring power up front.
And if Giroud develops,
Giroud
too.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, they added Ian LaPerriere in the summer too, who's going to be a third, fourth line type of player. But he's an energy guy. He gets into the corner. He does yeah. what Knubel does, except he doesn't have the scoring.
Doesn't
touch.
Have the scoring
yeah.
touch, right?
So,
right.
But he'll add that kind of grit. And then you have some big guy they added to the blue line. Which
yeah. Well, let's talk about
add a little grit there too.
You know. They did lose Darian Hatcher now, let's be fair.
But they didn't have him last year.
Yeah, they didn't
yeah,
have
no,
him last year.
Yeah, no, I know. But,
because
yeah, I mean.
He thought he was Brett Favre. He really couldn't figure out when he should retire.
But, you know, bringing in Chris Pronger, obviously significant move for the Flyers. And so what I mean, I think, you know, you can't really discount the offense that he could potentially bring from the blue line as well, certainly helping out what was already a pretty good power play.
And a pretty good defense. I mean, yeah. you're adding Pronger to a blue line that has Kimo Timonen and Braden Coburn and Ryan Pronger. They're pretty good. Randy Jones. Excuse me. I was thinking Keith Jones. Sorry, wrong Jones. yeah, I mean, they have a pretty good blue line. I think that's really critical because in the Eastern Conference, to get out of it, you need, you know, a defenseman to shut down. You got, really, you're going to have Crosby and Malkin coming at you from Pittsburgh. You have Ovechkin and Semin coming at you from Washington. You have Boston with Savard and it's, you know,
probably Lucic. Not Kessel.
Won't be Kessel, no. But Lucic is up there, and Blake Wheeler's moving up.
Right.
You know, they
right.
have they have the firepower up front
sure.
there. You need really defense. You know, a good defense. A number one type of defenseman. You know, Timonen is probably that to some extent, but not to the degree that you have Pronger. Pronger's a Norris Trophy quality defenseman, and that's something the Flyers have lacked. And I think that's really going to be a major addition for them.
I was thinking pretty much the last year, I believe Timonen and Coburn were paired together. And in that pairing, that's what Pronger is. He's physical. He gets points. So, yeah, they'll have some pretty good balance. I think it'll be good for, you know, the Flyers to be able to put two physical guys on their top two pairings. So,
And what about Ray Emery?
I was about to say, that's
going to
be my next question
mark.
to the both of you.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt the
idea. is Ray Emery going to
question?
Be the man? sure, I'll take this one on. You know, it's going to be a tough call. Nobody really knows what they're getting with regards to Emery. I mean, he was a good goaltender in the NHL at one point, and then obviously had some significant problems, and to the point where he basically found himself out of a job and went overseas and played, and now he's gotten a second chance, and he seems to be trying to make the very most of that second chance. So at least at this point, I'd have to say that his heart and head are in the right place. Whether the abilities are there to back it up, only time will tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with him as a goalie necessarily. I know, like, all the off-ice stuff and the controversy, I think there's reasons for that, but that's a separate issue. I think right now the bigger question is, are the Flyers better off in goal with him than they were with Martin Biron?
Biron, right. Mm-hmm.
Because essentially Biron, what Biron ended up signing for a one-year deal was basically comparable money to what Emery signed with Philadelphia for it. So I think Biron probably wanted more, and that was why they let him go. They weren't necessarily sold on him in Philadelphia. So really the question is, Biron did have his moments, certainly in the playoffs a couple of years ago. But the issue is, I guess, Philadelphia, the big question mark more than anything this year, are they better off on goal? Because that's always been the Achilles heel of the Flyers.
Yeah.
Come playoff time, and they have him. They brought Brian Boucher back, so maybe, maybe not. You know, Biro and Nidamaki last year were decent at times and struggling. They struggled at other times. I don't know necessarily they have upgraded their goaltending situation dramatically, if at all.
Yeah, I think if they were looking at anything, it was obviously past performance. You know, Biron, I think you could say he was average to maybe above average. And you look at Emery's career, although it was short, and the last season he was with Edmonton was kind of a fiasco. But the fact that he did take a team – I'm sorry, Ottawa. The time he did take them to the finals, I mean, that's something that you can give him credit for.
Right.
That he did
– He was
most,
very good.
Yeah, so I think that if they can get that out of – Emery this time around, they might be better off than they have been in the past. I think he, looking at the past, is probably an above average goalie, but there's still a lot of questions as to whether he's that really is.
I guess you really have to wonder with a guy like that, is he like the ideal candidate for a change of scenery? You
know, because sure.
I mean, some players, let's face it, some players really do need to change the locale and change their team, change everything about their playing situation. And sometimes that really helps, and sometimes it's an illusion that it's going to be any different anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I personally think that it'll be different for Emery in Philadelphia. I think that, you know, the off-ice controversies, there was something that I can't put my finger, but somehow he seemed to tick off a lot of people, perhaps in the media there, with his attitude and I guess his style of dress and things like that. And Ottawa is a very conservative, government homogenous type of town where you know, I guess delicately put, the Emery tended to stand out, I think he riled a lot of people with his individual style and things like that. And I think it just got him, it kind of snowballed in a lot of ways. Yeah. For him. And I think in Philadelphia, an athlete like him will become more part of the mainstream, so to speak. And although Terrell Owens had it too.
Yeah, but if they can welcome, Michael Vick back.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I don't think
it'll be an issue for
potatoes.
I think being in a place too that where hockey is big in Philadelphia, but it's nowhere near what it is in Ottawa. And
right.
I don't think he'll be under the kind of scrutiny and spotlight where it seemed in Ottawa people were always looking for him to do something to mess up so they could jump on and say, look at him, look what you guys messed up. I don't think that's going to be the case in Philadelphia, and that will probably make it easier. But again, it's what he makes of it. So
yeah.
if he is really determined to make the most of this chance after spending a year in Russia, which I'm sure wasn't all that pleasant for him,
right.
Yeah, there could be a big difference.
And he's a feisty guy, and that's, yes. In Philadelphia, that's never frowned upon. So to see him get riled up is, is just going to egg the crowd on.
So what you're suggesting is he go and beats up the other goalie in the first game.
Might as well.
Wouldn't be the first time for a Flyers goalie. All right, so let's shift over to New Jersey Devils right now.
Forgot about the island. We can't
Well, we're not done yet.
No, we're not done yet.
We're just shifting over. We'll get to the two New York teams. Let's start off with the Devils. And, again, another quasi-typical offseason of not a lot coming in. Some key players going out. Scott Clemenson. Brian Johnson and long time Devil John Madden finally leaving, which is kind of ironic because I thought he really would have done well under Lemaire, considering his style of play. But so what? Yeah, money. Well, hey, you got to earn, right? So let's talk about the Devils. What do we see? What are the big question marks or things we need to look for from New Jersey this year?
Well, like I mentioned before, curious to see how there's adjustment to Lemaire coming in. Again, we assume that it's going to be a little bit more defensive. I think the other thing is, who are the players that are going to be kind of filling in some of these roles for the departed Devils? Obviously, a two-way center. Is Rod Pelley going to be the guy that fills Madden's shoes? Gates, I should say.
Perhaps.
Gianta times may not seem like a big loss, but the guy did score 40 goals, I believe, for them.
Well, they did sign
back.
Steven, so perhaps little brother can pick up for.
I don't know about that.
Gianta scored 48 goals. I think it was the year.
It was a contract.
It was the season after the lockout ended. The first season. After
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, his numbers have gone down.
His numbers have gone down, but he was still, I think, a significant piece in that. That lineup. I mean,
yeah, 25 goals is 25 goals.
Yeah,
no
20 last year.
20 last year. Yeah. So.
I want to say that Zubris, when he got a huge contract, he's been an average. I think he's got to earn his money. And with Brodeur, you assume he's going to stay healthy. I thought last year was somewhat of a fluke incident with him getting hurt.
Yeah.
But still for a team that is really built around him. They need him to stay healthy. They need him to play at least, 60, 65 games.
Especially since Clemenson isn't around. Clemenson carried them
for
3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
He carried them
to
first
place. I don't think that should be really overlooked he played for them.
And how well the team played in front of him.
Exactly.
Because it was almost like, okay, we're rallying around the flag type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stick up for the guy. And they did a job. I think one thing that we're overlooking, Gianta, you're losing his offense. Again, his numbers declined. I don't know the Devils were really very, very sorry to see him go, especially the money that he is earning now. But we forget that Ralston had problems last year with injuries.
That's
and
true.
Ralston's a very good offensive player. And I think
Definitely.
If he's healthy on a second unit with Eliash and whoever they get on the wing with them, I think you may not see that much of a drop-off collectively
right.
in the offense. So, the Devils, their farm system isn't producing at the kind of rate it did a few years ago. Mm-hmm. They don't have spectacular players come up, but they do have players that come up and fit right into the system like a glove, because that's, you know, most teams are adopting that. They're getting their minor league teams kind of play the same size, same type of style, so they can just, you know, make the parts interchangeable, so to speak. But the Devils have been doing that for years. And the players they do bring up tend to be ready to fit the roles they need them to fit. And, you know, you get a smart coach, you get a good goaltender, you have, you know, enough of an offense from those first two lines, you have a team that's competitive.
Yes.
Exactly. You both hit on all the big points, because now, you know, with a healthy Brodeur back there and, you know, potentially moving back to that defensive system, you know, that's going to allow them to be in a position to win most nights. And that's really all they're trying to do, mm-hmm. finish somewhere 1-8 and then worry about the rest once the playoffs start.
Right, because that's what will be the end of their season. They can't get past the first round anymore.
Well, I won't make any comments on that, but, you know, anything's possible.
I still can't believe that Brodeur gave up 2 goals in 80 seconds to lose the game.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you know, that could be some significant motivation for him this year, is thinking back on that, because that had to be a very bitter pill to swallow, not only for him and for the Devils, but certainly all of their fans.
Yeah, and
whom I reminded it about.
Yes, and there will be the motivation of trying to beat up Mr. Luongo for the starting job.
Yeah, and that, you know what, but you can't really knock that as motivation either.
Oh, no, I think there's a lot of motivation.
There's no doubt he wants to play, and
everybody,
you know,
wants. I mean, anybody who has a chance to play for their national team right now wants it.
Of course, but there's only one goalie on the ice. Yeah. If you're a center, you still have 4 shots, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, there's only
Unless
one goalie. So,
and especially since
we've seen him go past ice, past center ice before.
Yeah, and especially since this could, from an Olympic standpoint, be the swan song. I mean, I can't imagine 2014 we're going to be standing here talking about.
Well, we're going to be talking about Ovechkin, who said he's going to play one way or the other.
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
The rest of his teammates are staying in Washington. Bye. Taking off 2 weeks.
Exactly. So, all right. So let's move on to the Rangers now. We already discussed a little bit about John Tortorella and his first full season as head coach of the New York Rangers. Also mentioned Marian Gabrick coming in. They also brought in Aleš Kotalík and Chris Higgins,
and
along
Prospel.
With Prospel, mm-hmm. Which you mentioned, but leaving is Naslin, Gomez, Antropov, amongst others. So, you know, it's another year. It's another new Rangers team. So at what point in time does Glenn Sather, and I know you're probably going to say when it works, but stop with the complete overhauls year over year?
I don't know that he made a complete overhaul. I think he made some significant changes this time. You know, they needed to add some offense. I was clear throughout the season, and certainly in the playoffs, that they could have beaten Washington if they could score. They could have scored some goals. Their offense was absolutely atrocious in those last three games. They had a 3-1 lead in that series, and they just couldn't score.
Right.
And they were hoping that Lundqvist could steal an entire series, and he only could steal 3 games. For them.
Sure.
So, they needed to add some offense. Gabrick is a high-risk, high-reward kind of guy, because if he is healthy, as he showed when he was last year in the season and throughout his career with the Wild, he is as good an offensive player as there is in the NHL. He's exciting, he's dynamic, he's fast, he can do it all. He's a highlight reel in motion, but, you know, he has to be playing, and that doesn't always happen. So the risk is he going to be in your lineup for more than 70 games or 65, 70 games? You don't know that. You hope. They're taking a chance on him. Yeah,
they're already holding him out of the early skates they've had so far. So, you know, definitely bears
those
watching.
Skates, the ones that Tortorella says, we're not trying to kill our players, we're just trying to condition them.
Right, yeah, just conditioning, yes. It's coincidentally the same skates they do when they are trying to kill the players. But now, because it's preseason, it's called conditioning.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, obviously not everything will fall on young Mr. Gabrick. There will be some support players. And I think that's really where the Rangers did well this year, is bringing in guys like Higgins, Kotalík, and Prosper. I think.
Are you pleased with Donald Brashear?
I actually liked Colton Orr, but I don't know that I would have paid Colton Orr 4 years and the money that he got.
Tortorella is very interesting, I thought, on this, because people in New York.
The better skater comment?
Right, and he's a better skater, and he can actually. And it's
a little bit better hands.
But
sure.
Again, he basically, you know, he may have ruined Blair Bett's career with a cheap blindside hit that everybody came down on. But now he's on our team. So it's
right,
okay.
Yeah. And the anybody that has problems with Brashear has to come answer to me has come from everybody down, organization through Captain Chris Drury. So
as if Brashear needs anybody to stand
right,
up.
Right, exactly. Actually, at the Fan Fest, did you read the story about the Fan Fest?
No.
When they,
did he beat somebody up?
he offered to. They booed him when they initially called out his name, and he jokingly said, "For everybody that boos, I'll start taking you on, one by one." So, and that seemed to win over the crowd. So already he's a fan favorite.
Right.
So that's how you do it. But
he's our goon.
Yeah, yes, he's our goon for sure. And then I think the other story to watch this year for the Rangers is. With goalie Henrik Lundqvist, it's another Olympic year, as we as we've discussed with all the teams where this could have a potential significant play on. And the last time in 2006 when we had to do this, Lundqvist, kind of faded down the stretch because he was Sweden's goalie. They went all the way, won the gold medal. Takes a lot out of you, and certainly took a lot out of him. So I know earlier Tortorella has been saying that he wants to get him. Less starts this year.
Anyway, he's Valiketmore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
but you know how Tortorella treats his backup goalies and how he refers to them. I mean, he cuts them up pretty bad. So, I think he's going to try and use Valiketmore, especially when there's back to back. There's a lot of back to back games squeezed in. So you'll see that. But
sure.
I think what's going to be really interesting with the Rangers, and the question mark has always been around the defense. They play their defense. Numbers are good because of Lundqvist has been outstanding, and their penalty killing has always been very good. It was number one in the league last year. But
right. You
look at their group along the defense, and it doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence, not in the power play. But I think it might be a little different because you have players like Staal and Girardi and some of these kids who maybe have been a little stifled under the system that Tom Rennie had for the last couple of years.
Sure.
Whereas Tortorella's motto has always been safe as death. And,
right.
And that maybe that's going to change. But I think that's an area the Rangers – improve on, that the defense, they have to have better work from their defense, more pinching in. If they're going to make that offense work, they need better play from the defense, getting the puck up and rushing and joining in. So maybe they will. I think they might have the ability, some of these guys, to do it, but we have to see it.
Yeah, no, certainly a lot of the young defensemen in camp, Matt Gilroy so far has been impressing so far. So, we'll have to, again, see another storyline. Keep our eyes on. Okay, final team in the Atlantic Division, the New York Islanders. I think Wes and I are of the opinion that they're not going to be incredibly terrible, whereas I think Aaron is pretty much having them scraping the bottom of the barrel of perhaps the AHL.
No. My thought is that they, I think we've discussed this, that they last year it was just, you had to feel for them because in some degree they were, fielding what might have been an AHL team, especially after DiPietro went down. I think this year, they're not an AHL team. They're still maybe a bottom of the barrel, NHL team. That's kind of where I see them. I mean, the fact that they are going to be carrying three goalies, to me, that says a lot because they have, DiPietro under contract until, the next flood, it seems.
Sure.
But he can't stay healthy.
Right.
And the fact that they went out and signed two guys who were starters last year, to me, that says we don't have faith that DiPietro is going to be healthy this year.
Or good enough, perhaps.
I'm not even looking at the good enough. I'm just looking at the fact that he's going to be on the ice for a significant amount of games this year. So
right.
I think the fact that they do have guys who were starters last year elsewhere, maybe not great years, but that's going to be a significant difference over Yandini and, Joey McDonald. So I think, that's the key thing right there.
Yeah, I like their young players. I think they came along very well towards the end of last year, and I think this is going to be another year where they can grow. I don't think they're going to make significant noise, but I think they're going to be a tough team to play against. There was another team that we mentioned that was like this, and I don't recall
Colorado.
Who was it. Colorado?
I think so.
It says, they may just come out on the losing end, more often than not, but I think they're going to be a tough team to play against.
Could be. I look, the young players, they struggled with them last year. got some experience that's going to be valuable down the road. Maybe it'll translate into a few more wins this year. I think with the goalie situation, I think the Islanders, deep down, they're looking beyond him because maybe they're not counting him, regardless of what they're saying publicly. But in the meantime, they have two veteran goalies. Biron's on a one-year deal. Rolison's on a two-year deal. Mm-hmm. It'll create some sort of competition between the two of them, which is not going to hurt the team, certainly.
Right.
You know, I think that you're going to probably see a more competitive team this year, again, because of the experience that the guys got last year. Tavares will come in and create some excitement, if nothing else.
Yeah, sure.
And that's important. They need that.
So, you know, will they be as terrible as last year? No. Will they be much better? Probably not. But, again, I think you'll see some steps in the right direction.
Exactly.
The question is, how big a step? Because they're playing in a very tough division.
Yeah.
Right.
And a pretty tough conference. So.
Agreed. All right. That's all the time we have for the Atlantic Division. We went a little overtime with the Atlantic. So I hope you enjoyed the extra chat. And stay tuned for the rest of our preview podcast that we'll be doing for the 2009-2010 NHL season. And catch the rest of our preview packages at cbssports.com/NHL.